Well, like I was saying earlier, good morning. Welcome to Ledge Rock Community Church. Days like this, it's so nice to be inside and not during the sermon, but at other times look out the windows at the beautiful scenery and the wonderful snow, the cleansing snow falling on the beautiful trees and God's creation. It's wonderful. And then I don't know if anybody has looked at the forecast, but there was these things that were on the forecast that were numbers that were positive. They were above zero. And I'm like, what is that? And Teresa reminded me that that's what happens in the spring. And so, yay. Yay, although I'm not ready for the sloppy stuff. Yeah. Am I talking to anybody this morning? I see bodies out there, but no one's talking back. So welcome to Ledge Rock. Here we talk back and forth quite a bit. You laugh at my jokes a lot. That's very, very important. All right, so we've talked quite a bit about canoeing and paddling over these last few weeks. Our family really enjoys the outdoors. We like wildlife and wilderness and all the things that go along with that. So consequently, we found a new favorite show, for this season at least, or for this season of our life when it's dark at like noon and then it's really cold and all. By the way, now it's going to be light like so much later. When can we actually put pajamas on after day? When's it like acceptable? Because it was 4:30. Now, I don't know. All right, if you have a note, email me when it's good. All right, so we like to watch television. That's a relaxing thing for us. And we discovered a show that we love, and it's called Northwood's Law. Have you ever seen Northwood's Law? Mike's nodding. He's probably been on it several times, getting arrested for many wildlife violations. I've been with him in the outdoors, and yeah. Anyway, Northwood's Law, it's super fun. So it started up in Maine, and it was several seasons up there following the game wardens, the conservation officers, as they go around and patrol the wilderness and the wilds and the lakes and the forests and all that. And then we get to watch as they make tickets for people, snowmobiles without registration, over the limit fishing, no license, poaching deer, lots and lots of poaching deer. It's really fun. I love their accent up there. It was really cool. And then they transitioned from Maine into New Hampshire. And it's just been fun to see the animals, lots of moose and different things like that. It's neat to watch. Our kids love it. You get to learn the game wardens. It's really fun. And now I know next week I'm going to get lots of you saying, we started watching Northwood's Law, and yeah, we like it too. Like, remember the series Alone? Like, all of you have watched all the Alones, and when are they coming out with another one? Should be soon. But anyway, the Northwood's Law, it's fun watching the patrolling and the writing, or maybe people doing it correctly with the game violations or whatever. But sometimes, sadly, there's some rescue operations that take place. Lots of people up in those super rugged Appalachian mountains turning ankles and getting injured, and the game wardens are responsible for getting them back down to safety, and they recruit lots of volunteers. Suddenly, or sometimes, there's also some recoveries, some body recoveries, as people enjoying the outdoors and venturing into the wilderness sadly came to a very tragic end. And the game wardens are also responsible for body recoveries in the water. They have search vessels and sonar and even dive teams that are trained to recover bodies that they find out in the wilderness or in the water. The bottom line is that wilderness, as beautiful as it is not to be taken lightly. Wilderness comes with some risks, some inherent risks and dangers. Paddling can be very fun and very relaxing, but it can also be dangerous, and we need to be prepared. In fact, we need to prepare a personal, proactive paddling protection plan. That's six if you're counting. I didn't want to put all those in the title, so it's just simply paddling protection plan. But really, it's a I'll do it again in case you take notes. prepare a personal, proactive paddling protection plan. When you and I go into the woods and we're out for an adventure, we need all things to make it safe. We need a first aid kit. Man, Caleb is in scouts and he's got a first aid kit and he barely walks out the door without grabbing that first aid kit. Here in the rocky area of the North Woods, we need good footwear, the right footwear for the season, protection and the right type of grip. And we need sun protection. We need cold protection. We need shelter. If we're going to be out overnight or maybe well into dark, we should have some sort of shelter. We need dry clothes, especially around the water. It's so important. We need some sort of fire starting equipment. We should have some food, unless you're one of those that doesn't like food, apparently. We need water filtration, but especially when we're on the water, those are important. But number one, we need a life jacket. We need a personal flotation device. We need something that will keep us up and above the water. Nearly all of the body recoveries in Maine and New Hampshire would have been avoided if they'd simply worn a life jacket. Our rule when we're paddling is if you're in the canoe, you're wearing a life jacket. We just always do. We need life jackets. Planning proactively in preparation produces peace. Now I'm even tripping my own self up. Proper preparation produces peace in our lives when we're facing difficulties and risks wherever we are at. You and I, as born-again believers, as part of the body of Christ, you and I making up the church, we also face some risks. We face some dangers, some very real and present dangers. In fact, today we're in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, so the last chapter in the book of Ephesians. If you have a copy, go ahead and find that. We'll be there in just a moment. But this sixth chapter, as the Apostle Paul wraps this letter up, is, boy, it's very important for you and I. In fact, I say it every week, and it's true. I absolutely love this book of Ephesians. It speaks such volumes to us. And in fact, I'll go ahead and set the stage now. The letter from the Apostle Paul in prison to the church in Ephesus, Paul wrote it to remind the church who they are in Jesus, who they were in their sin before Jesus. It explains the gospel. The first half of the book of Ephesians is the gospel, the change in people's lives by coming to faith in Jesus. And the second half is living that faith out day in and day out. It's truly an amazing book. The final chapter, Paul, as he wraps all of this up, he explains the role of children and families and husbands and wives. And he also explains the armor of God that God has given to us born-again believers to fend off the attacks of the devil, the enemy. He explains the reality of the evil that's out there and that you and I need to pay attention and take notice. Today's sermon is not about the armor of God. That's a series of sermons. So we're going to hit the very beginning and then we're going to look at the very end of this little segment about you and I being prepared against the evil out there. But I wanted to remind you and I of what Scripture teaches about the dangers that we face as part of the church. All right, listen to me. Don't follow. Well, if you've got a copy, congratulations, copy of God's Word. Follow along. I'm going to read verses 10 through 13. If you didn't, just simply listen to God's Word and let it soak in. The Apostle Paul's winding up the letter and he says, "Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by His vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavens. For this reason, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything, to take your stand. And then he goes on and explains in more detail what it's like to actually have and use the armor of God and what those are all made up of. But the bottom line is that as dangerous as the wilderness can possibly be and the preparation that's needed to correctly and effectively take part in that wilderness, you and I have an even greater danger facing us. And it's these powers of darkness. Those verses, if they don't scare us, they should make us sit up and pay attention to the reality going on all around us. Again, this amazing letter that Paul explains who we were, how we come to faith in Jesus, and then how to actually live that out. He explains it. And here we pick up now in today's actual passage in verse 18, wrapping up all this stuff about the dangers and the armor. He sums it up with verse 18, 19 and 20. He says, "Pray at all times in the Spirit, with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. Pray also for me that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. For this I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might be bold enough to speak about it as I should." Pray with me. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for the chance to be here this day. Thank you for your word that you have spoken to us. And Lord, I thank you for this message that you have given to me. And Lord, I do pray that you take this truth and speak it through me this morning. Lord, I ask you to open up our hearts and minds to truly understand what you're telling us, what you're explaining to us, and how it is that we can be better prepared. Lord, have your way among us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And again, the whole church said, amen. So the idea behind today's message is that all disciples, followers of Jesus, can be part of a prayerful protection plan if you pay attention to this passage of Scripture and remember it and then do what it says. So the beginning of this book of Ephesians, the first three chapters, other parts in Scripture, all around in Scripture, were taught, one, the history of God and His creation, creating perfection, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, everything that they needed, including an intimate relationship with the Creator, with God. And then we read, sadly, in Genesis chapter 3, the fall of mankind, when the serpent came and he deceived Adam and Eve. And pride took over and they chose their way versus God's way. They ate of the fruit of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Sin entered the human race. Their relationship was broken and hindered. They were ashamed and embarrassed, and suddenly death came upon the earth as God killed an animal to clothe Adam and Eve with that animal's skin. And since then, all of the darkness and deception and evil and death and cancer and famine and just everything that's bad on the earth is a result of sin, not God's plan, not God's idea, a result of human rebellion. And since Adam and Eve, every human, full human, not God, the God-man in Jesus, but besides Jesus, every other human that's ever been born has been born into sin. We're just born with the nature to lie and deceive and steal and even murder, if not with our hands, with our hearts, with anger. We have all sinned and fallen far short of what God intended, the glory of God. Pride, all sin comes back to pride, simply choosing my way versus God's way. Pride is the depravity that falls upon mankind. Every single issue out there, every issue out there comes back to simply pride in our hearts, saying, "I want this. I don't like that. I want my way. I. It's sin. It's pride. and the powers of darkness, the prince of darkness, he knows this. He knows that you and I in our heart of hearts are prideful, that we want our way, that we are sinful by nature. He knows this. And Satan works overtime to poison you and I's hearts. He works hard to put darkness in our hearts and keep that darkness there. Satan works hard at causing disunity and division in the church. He wants us to look at the other people as the enemy, as the problem. I don't like what they said. I like it my way. They should do everything my way. Satan works hard and he causes problems everywhere that he goes. And let me tell you, he uses you to do it. Satan uses you and I to carry out his dirty work. He uses each of us, wherever we're the weakest, wherever that pride infiltrates our lives, he uses that to bring about his own dark, evil desires. The enemy wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your witness for the King of all kings. The enemy wants to destroy your faith. He wants to destroy your family. The enemy wants to destroy our fellowship. Right here at Ledge Rock. And let me tell you, the enemy, he never sleeps. He never sleeps and he never stops. The Lord knew about this real and present danger. And that's why God gave us his armor to stand strong against these evil attacks of the powers of darkness, this enemy that's very real and all around us. He gave us this armor. All these things that were spelled out just before, well, between the two passages of Scripture that we read this morning, he gave us armor to use. But what ties all that armor together? What releases the power of God's armor in our lives? It's simply prayer. Prayer is what ties everything together and empowers it all. Prayer is what's important. Verse 18, the first word, after all those things, he says, pray. You and I, brothers and sisters, considering the reality of the evil around us, the reality of this power of darkness that is doing everything he can to divide us, disunify us, destroy our faith and family and fellowship, what do? We pray. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the key to unlocking the power and the protection and the peace of God that's available for all of us. How often then should you and I pray? How often should we engage in this activity? Well, he says right here in verse 18, pray at all times. Pray at all times. Paul says, you and I are to pray constantly, pray without ceasing, pray at all times. Remember 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, rejoice always, always have joy, pray without ceasing, and at all times in everything give thanks, because those things are the will of God in our lives, being joyful and prayerful and thankful. Remember last week's prayer, I mean, all this whole sermon series on the power of proper prayer, it ties together with a thankful heart, coming to God and being empowered by the Spirit. You and I are told to pray at all times. What if we don't know what to pray for? How do we even go about praying? Well, I'm glad you asked. Allow the Spirit to lead you through your prayer. He says it right here, pray at all times in the Spirit. When we don't know what to pray and how to pray, don't worry. Allow the Spirit of God to do it. Remember Romans chapter 8? When we don't know what to pray and even how to begin to pray, the Spirit takes over. God Himself, the power that created the heavens and the earth, living inside us, He leads us through our prayer time. He tells us how to pray for each other. Pray at all times in the Spirit. If a person you or I, if we're saved, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit changes us and fills us and leads us. And the Spirit of God empowers us. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request. You and I are called upon as brothers and sisters, members of the body of Christ, to pray constantly in the Spirit at all times with our prayers and requests, living a life of constant awareness of what's going on around us, the powers of darkness, and the will of God in our lives, in our church, in our community, and on this earth. You and I are called to live sensitive to the prompting of the Spirit, continually open to Him and just thinking about God and each other and the connection and protection from the darkness, praying at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request. As part of the church, the greater global body of Christ and the local body of Christ, you and I have an obligation to stay alert. Pray at all times, in the Spirit, with every prayer and request, and stay alert. We have to be aware, continually aware, that the devil is real. He's out there lurking like a roaring lion, looking for anyone that he can devour or distract enough to allow our prideful nature to take over, to think that what we want is more important than the greater good for the body of Christ, and insert division and difficulties and disunities. We're called to stay alert, to stay vigilant. It's easy for us when things are going well to get lazy, to get complacent, to think more about where we're going to go for lunch after church than how it is that we can exalt God and push back the powers of darkness. Remember, Peter says, stay alert, be awake, be sober-minded, because this enemy is real and he is truly like a lion, and he is looking for anyone that he can influence and ultimately devour. Eyes wide open. Eyes wide open and aware, with perseverance and intercession, praying always for the saints. Our prayers should be, we should persevere through our prayers. They call it praying it through. Don't stop when the issue hasn't resolved itself and that dear brother or sister's heart is still hard, or there's still conflict or whatever is going on. Don't stop. We pray at all times in the Spirit with perseverance and persistence and intercession, interceding for each other before God. That reminds me, we don't grow weary in any of this. Who do we pray for? I love it. This verse, it's so cool. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession. For who? For all the saints. For all of the saints. I know that you guys think that I am absolutely a saint. You're supposed to say amen at that one. I know, I'm convinced that you guys believe that I am a saint. My wife would absolutely tell you that yes, I am. And at times that's true. At times that's true. But also, so are you. Each of you, if you're a born-again follower of Jesus, you also are a saint. A saint in the army of God. You are a precious child of God, created in His image. And if you are truly saved and filled with the Spirit of God, you also are a saint. We are the saints of God, and we are called in the power of the Spirit to never stop praying for each other. Praying and interceding for each other because of the reality of the darkness that's out there. And to be filled and overwhelmed with the power and the strength of God. Because of this reality of the powers of darkness and the danger that's around us, we are called to pray at all times in the Spirit. With every prayer and request, we're to stay alert at all times, not growing weary, not growing complacent. With every prayer and request, we're to stay alert with perseverance and intercession for each other and for all the saints. But that's not all. It goes on in verse 19, and he says, pray also for me. We're to pray for each other, pray for the saints both here and abroad, the church all around the world, but also for me as your pastor, as the man that God called here to Ely, Minnesota, to lead and to serve you and to serve our community. The reality is that I have a giant bullseye on me. I've heard it said that one of the favorite menu items for lunch after church is roast pastor. I don't know if you've ever enjoyed that one before, but I haven't. The reality is, as God's servant and ambassador, I do have a bullseye on my back. As you pray for each other, please remember to pray for me as well. Pray for me and your leaders. The truth is that I also have a wife and children. And if I am strong and living in the full armor of God, then Satan loves to attack my wife. And he loves to attack my children. And then that then affects me in such huge ways. And if my wife and my children are strong, then he attacks me. It's a never-ending vicious cycle. As you pray for each other, please, please remember to pray for me. What should you pray for me about? Well, let the Spirit lead you for sure. Absolutely. Listen to the voice of God and allow Him to lead you in how best to pray for me and your leaders here at Ledge Rock. But for me in particular, as I preached last week, I want to be and live as an ambassador of God's peace. If you want to pray for me, pray that I model peace, that I embody God's peace. Pray for peace in my life, not from storms and difficulties, but in the midst of storms and troubles and difficulties. Pray for patience for me with my wife and children and with my family and with you. Pray for patience to overwhelm me. Pray for protection against the enemy. Sometimes God allows us to face those struggles that we're stronger coming through it. Allow the Spirit to lead you in how best to pray for peace and patience and protection. Pray also for power. As I speak to you and to our community about the gospel of Jesus, as Paul mentions here, he says, pray also for me that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness this mystery, this spectacular gospel, the truth of Jesus and who He is. Pray for me that I may have peace and patience, protection and power as I speak. Pray for God to lead me in my preaching, that I speak His word with truth and righteousness, and that you would hear the reality of who our God is and who each other is as well. Paul says, don't forget to pray for each other, and don't forget to pray for your leaders. Pray also for me, that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness this mystery of the gospel. For this I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might be bold enough to speak about it as I should. The wonderful thing about our God is that He is greater than he who lives in this world. God has overcome this power of darkness. God, the battle's already over. Currently, temporarily, Satan's allowed to cause some problems, but God is so much bigger, and I've read the back of the book, and we win. God is good. God is great and mighty and faithful, and God is at work here in Ely. God is at work here at Ledge Rock Community Church, and wonderful things are going on. The Spirit of God is moving. I'm so encouraged. Many of you are growing in huge ways. Your spouses have come to me and said, I can't believe what's going on in my spouse's life because God is growing them and it's remarkable. You're growing in your relationships together and in your relationship with God. You're serving together. God is at work and good things are happening. There's joy here in our worship and unity in this body of Christ. And Satan knows that. The enemy, this power of darkness, he knows that. And let me tell you, he hates it. He hates that. He hates what God is doing. He hates that he's lost. And he wants to disrupt it. And he wants to destroy it. You and I need a personal, proactive, prayerful protection plan. We need to pray at all times and ask for God to intercede in our church family, in our community, and across the globe like a life jacket on a canoe trip. You and I are the answer, filled with the Spirit of God, praying at all times without stopping for each other, for me, for your leaders, for God to be glorified, for Satan to be bound and pushed away. Don't stop praying. Pray without ceasing. Pray with me. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have known the difficulties that we would face. None of this is a surprise to you. And Lord, I thank you that you've given us armor to withstand against this power of darkness, this Satan, Lord, our enemy. You've given us armor to withstand him, to stand strong in who you are. And you've also told us how to tie it all together, the catalyst that allows all of your power to take place in our lives, and that is our prayer, the saints' prayer for each other. And Lord, I ask that you would enable each of us to continually remember to lift each other up in prayer, oh boy, without ceasing in your power. And Lord, may you continue to lead us into a deeper relationship with you and help others that are not yet come to a saving relationship with you. Lord, may we share this good news with them and see them come into this power of light. Oh Lord, we love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.